So I was asked to speak all about the issues relating to Maaser K'saf and then giving tzedakah. Pardon me for sitting. I really don't feel well, and that is why I sound the way I sound as well. So we're going to begin with just a couple of Maamari Chazal to really highlight exactly the importance and the essential role that tzedakah has in Yiddishkeit. We'll start with a few Maamarim that are quoted in the Tana de Be'elio. Number one, he says, Gedola tzedakah sheha'olam omed aleha. This is one of the things that the world stands on, right? That's what we're all familiar with, such a Maamar Chazal, but that is actually, the first source of that is actually from the Tana de Be'elio. Tana de Be'elio also writes, Gedola tzedakah shemarech yamov ushnosav shel adam. It's something that could bring a person arichas yamim. Mevi'as adam lidei chayi olam haba. Tzedakah is something which could bring a person to have a portion in olam haba. The Gemara Baba Basra Daf Yud tells us, Gedola tzedakah shemekareves es haga'ula, which the Tur in Yerodea quotes also in Simar Reish Mem Zayin, that tzedakah is something that can bring the ge'ula closer. Tana de Be'elio continues and says, Shemevi'as haneshama tachas kisei hakavod. Tzedakah is something that could bring a person's neshama to be straight under the kisei hakavod after he gets to the Olam HaEmes. And finally, the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Tes, there are many, many more, but the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Tes tells us in the sugyas about tzedakah there, that tzedakah is shkula keneged kol mitzvah kula. So that being said, we know that tzedakah is obviously a very important mitzvah. It's something that we take very seriously. So what is the role of Maaser K'safim? And when is a person mechuyev to give? When is a person not mechuyev to give? And how much and from what? So we'll start as follows. What is the makar for the mitzvah of giving Maaser K'safim? So the Das Akena Mibalei HaTosis, which is a Pirush on Chumash written by one of the Balei HaTosis, writes from the Pasuk in 2 weeks ago, Parsha V'chala Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Lach. Yaakov Avinu says that he'll give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a tenth of anything that he is given. Chala Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Lach, I will give you Maaser. Says the Das Akena Mibalei HaTosis, what does that mean? Yaakov Tiken Laseis Maaser Menam Maaser. Yaakov was the original individual who started to give Maaser K'safim. That is where this idea started from Yaakov Avinu. And the first source of this is from the Das Akena Mibalei HaTosis. If you look, it's interesting, if you look in the Rambam and the Ravid, which is obviously your kasha right now, Yitz, of course, that the Rambam and the Ravid have machlekes, who exactly instituted Maaser K'safim, which is what you were about to ask, I'm sure, right? So, the Rambam says that it was started by Yitzchak Avinu, because Yitzchak gave Maaser, that's what Yitz was about to say. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? Why are you only saying Yitzchak Avinu? What about Avram Avinu? What's the pasuk? What's by Yitzchak? Me'esharim, there are a few psukim by Yitzchak which seem to indicate that he did give Maaser. So that's what the Rambam says, that's the makar of giving Maaser K'safim is from Yitzchak Avinu. The Ravid says he thinks it dates back all the way to Avram Avinu. Why are you telling me only from Yitzchak? How about by Avram Avinu with Avi Melech that he also gave Maaser? So that's the Ravid's kasha on the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah there discusses Yitzchak's kasha. What? Malki Tzedek, that's correct. So if that's true, so the Kesef Mishnah there discusses, why does the Rambam not date this mitzvah back all the way to Avram Avinu? Why does he only begin by Yitzchak? So the Kesef Mishnah discusses what's the difference by the story of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and why the Rambam chose not to start it from Avram. However, it's interesting that we find that we hear there's a machlokes, three-way machlokes HaRishonim, who was the first of the Avos who instituted this issue, this inyan of giving Maaser K'safim. The Rambam says that it was started by Yitzchak. The Ravid says it was started by Avram Avinu, and the Das Akena Mibalei HaTosis, who's the most famous about this, holds that it was instituted by Yaakov Avinu. So that being said, it would seem that this would be a din d'oraisa, right? The Das Akena Mibalei HaTosis is learning this from the pasuk in that parsha, which says Aser Asrenu Lach, that Yaakov gave Maaser. So if you look in Tainus on Daf Tes, the Gemara in Tainus Daf Tes says, famous Gemara, Aser Bishvil Shatis Asher. This is one of the mitzvahs where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'chanuni Gambazos, a person is allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to tzedakah. For example, he says, I would like to give tzedakah on behalf of a certain cause, and in the merit of that tzedakah, I wish to get a certain thing back. So Tosfos Chulin on Daf Beis writes that a person really shouldn't talk that way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, he is allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make sure that he gets back actually for what he does. Tosfos writes that he just shouldn't speak it out. So the Gemara says over there in Tainus Daf Tes that Aser Bishvil Shatis Asher, if a person gives Maaser, he actually will become rich in return. So Tosfos comments over there on the Gemara, on Daf Tes and Tainus, that he says, Aser Ta Aser Es Kol Tvu Azarecha. Tosfos quotes a Sifri, one of the Midrashim, which writes, we darshim from this pasuk that aser ta aser is kol tvu azarecha. What do we learn from the word kol? Ein li el azarecha de mischayev b'maiser. This only tells me that I'm chayev to give maiser from my produce. How do I know? Minayin shekol ha'arvachim v'ha'parkmatia are also chayavin. How do I know that I'm chayav to give meiser also from all my business dealings or from anything else that brings in any sort of money to me, any interest I make on anything, any business deal that will make me gain some sort of revach? So how do I know I have to give meiser from that also? Tamalomar is kol tivua zarecha. Tosus quotes the Sifri that I have to give from kol tivua zarecha, not just from my produce, but from anything that brings some sort of gain into my estate. So therefore, it would seem, the Achrenim write, that based on this Tosus and based on the Dasikanim, which quotes the Pasuk from Yaakov Avinu by Aser to Aser, it would seem that this is a din midiraisa, or at least an asmachta midirabanan. But it seems to be that it's a drasha gemur. It's something that's very serious. The Shach writes in Yarudea, actually, Shin Lamentes, that we don't always assume that every time Tosus quotes a Sifri, that that actually means it's an automatic din d'oraisa. The Shach says very often it is only an asmachta ba'amun. When Tosus quotes a Sifri, it doesn't really mean to be a din d'oraisa. So many Achronim say that this is a either din d'oraisa or just an asmachta ba'amun. However, the Bach and Yarudea, Simon Shin Lamentes, as well as the Pischei Tshuva, I'm sorry, not Shin Lamentes, the Bach and Yarudea Shin Lamed Aleph, and Hilchos Tzedaka quotes B'Shem Sam Achronim, as well as the Pischei Tshuva, who's Malakit many other Achronim, as he always does, quote that this is not a din d'oraisa, it is not even a din d'rabbanan, it is only a minog. Which is, the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, that is the Haskamas Rov HaAchronim. The Chassam Sofer says that being that Rov HaAchronim feel that it is only a minog, therefore we have many ways that we can be makel with regard to this minog. Now, where would we be makel? My father told me this morning that the Mashgiach in YU, when he was a Talmud here, which was a couple of years ago, the Mashgiach was Reb Lessin, Reb Yaakov Lessin. He was from Europe. He was one of the European Rabbanim. So my father said that whenever a person was in the middle of Sheva Brachos, he would always go over to him and he would say that he has two instructions for him. Instruction number one is make sure you take your wife on a walk every so often. Very nice for those of us who might forget. I don't know how. So he says, very nice idea, you should take your wife on a walk. Number two is you should not be giving Meiser Ksafim if your parents are supporting you. Why is that the case? Why is that true? So, being that we hold like the Bach and the Chassam Sofer, like the Pischei Tshuva quoted, that many Achronim say that the whole issue of giving Meiser Ksafim is only a minig, it's not a din d'oraisa, it's not even a din d'rabbanan, being that that is the case, therefore it's not right for a person to make his parents give him more money because he wants to go and be mekayim the minig of giving Meiser Ksafim. So that's not right. So therefore we hold that really if a person is in that type of situation, he should not be giving Meiser Ksafim. There are those who feel, meaning let's say, I'm being paid a certain salary. It's very little, I'm not able to live so long. I'm not able to make that much money on the current salary that I have right now. I can't live with such a lavish lifestyle. And by giving Meiser Ksafim, I'm going to put myself under. So obviously, a person is not mechuyev to put himself under to give Meiser Ksafim. He has to first factor in everything, all his normal life expenses, and then if he realizes that he does have some extra, then he should give Meiser Ksafim and actually fulfill this minug. We know that being that it is a minug, the halacha is generally by minhagim, once a person accepts upon himself, even if it's not a verbal acceptance, even if he just does something three times, minik tov she esnesi she velo amar beli nether, if a person actually does something three times, that becomes a nether on his behalf. If some sefer writes that minik is always mitam nether. A minik, whenever a person takes something nice upon himself, it is always binding like a nether. So if that is the case, a person has to be careful that if he gives meiser ksafim three times in a row, 3 years in a row, or three business deals in a row, he has to make sure that he says beli nether, if he doesn't want to continue to do this practice forever, meaning he might not always be able to afford this minig tova meiser ksafim. So if a person is concerned about that, he should always make sure to say beli nether when he gives the meiser ksafim, being that it is only a minog. But just to clarify again, if a person is in a situation, let's say my father likes to say, if a person is in a kolol, and he's going to have to leave kolol a year early because he's giving meiser ksafim to others, so my father felt that it is not right. I know that there are others who feel that a person should always write, let's say he gets wedding money, he gets gifts as wedding money or whatever it is. So there are those who say, well, listen, they're a young couple right now, they cannot afford that much, and therefore they should not give Meiser Ksafim from the wedding money because it's going to cause them to go into, you know, to leave a year of learning earlier or something to that effect. That is true, but there are those who say that when that is the situation, a person should actually write down how much money they put away and did not take Meiser off, and later on, when they're actually making a nice, affordable living, they should give Meiser from that. My father told me that he feels not that way, and he feels if a person is pater right now, I mean, there are tzedadim l'kan l'kan, there are those who feel both ways, but if a person is pater right now because he's not in a situation where he's able to pay Meiser himself, and therefore he should not even write it down, he's not mechuyev to do it later. It's a nice midas chasidus if a person wants to do, but a person is really not mechuyev to do that. And I was told by Reb Tzvi Berkowitz, Rabbi Feiner actually told me from Reb Tzvi Berkowitz that, from Nar Yisrael, that he always tells the guys, if you're not in a situation where you're able to give Meisrik Safim, you do not have to write it down and pay later. You just forget about right now, and when you make an affordable living, you'll give Meisrik Safim off what you're making then, but you don't have to worry about what you have right now. So this is with regard to our chiyuv of giving Meisrik Safim. Some say it's a din deraisa, some say it's a din derabanan, some say it's a minig. We generally accept the opinion of those acharonim who say it is only a minig. So now, what do I have to give Meisrik Safim from? From which type of money? So Rabbi Yonah writes as follows in the Sefer HaYira, and the same is found in the Rush, that a person is chayv to give ma'aser mikol davar hamistaker, from anything that brings in some sort of money to my estate. Hein lomod, hein lichtov, hein lasas malacha, whatever a person brings in money, whether it means he prints books, or he writes svarim, or he does any other sort of business, he's a garbage man, he's a waiter in a restaurant, whatever it is, doesn't make a difference. Oh, af, says Rabbeinu Yonah, even if he's matzah metzia, even if he finds a lost object in the street, and he ends up being allowed to keep it because it doesn't have a siman, whatever it is, he also must give meiser from that metzia that he found. Or, he even says, afilu nesana lo matana. Even if someone gave him a gift, and now, let's say a person makes a lot of money from his bar mitzvah, or from his wedding, or from whatever, someone gives him some sort of substantial gift, significant gift, that he would also have to give meiser from. Minakol yafresh meiser, says Rabbeinu Yonah in the Rush, a person must give meiser from everything that comes into his rishus, however it gets there. What may a person use his meiser money for? So the Rama writes in Reish Mem Tes Siv Aleph in Yeridaya that ein lasas mi meiser shelo dvar mitzvah kagon liknos neiros lebeis haknesses rakit lana la'aniyim. What does the Rama say b'shem the Mardechai? A person is not proper if a person gives that money that he set aside for meiser k'safim. He should not give that money to pay for the electric bills in the shul, or to pay for some sort of other thing for a public cause. He should rather give that money to aniyim specifically. Meisr Ksafim was set aside really for the purpose that poor people should actually have money. So therefore, says the Rama, a person should be careful not to spend that money on some sort of tzarchei rab.
Does that mean aniyim directly, or say if you contribute to a yeshiva, meaning not everyone pay the tuition, so you give to the yeshiva, but that indirectly gets to the aniyim.
Right, so that's called supporting aniyim, because otherwise the aniyim would go have to collect money on their own to pay for their children's tuition, but over here we're helping that. So that's a different story. That would be considered part of the aniyim, but we'll get to this in a second. This is only the shita of the Rama quoting the Mardechai. However, the Drisha of there writes right on the spot, and he says that kol mitzvah shelo yehi yachal lasas pam lechayim im lo yishalim alea, then he's allowed to pay money, he's allowed to give his meiser ksefim on that. What does that mean? Let's say my whole life I'm dying to do mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Let's say, take for example, and I'll never be able to do it because someone else always gets the mitzvah right before me. They put an ad in the newspaper, we happen to have an opportunity for Shiloh HaKein, and someone steals the mitzvah every time. So I put an ad in the newspaper, I preempt everyone, and I write, I have $1 million, I'm interested in doing the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein, next time someone comes across the mitzvah, it's mine. So am I allowed to do that or not? Let's say I have $1 million, my Ksafim. Good salary. So am I allowed to use my Meisr Ksafim for that? So says the Drisha, even though the Rama says that a person should not use his Meisr Ksafim to do mitzvahs, he should use his Meisr Ksafim specifically for the purpose of supporting aniyim. Says the Drisha, if it's a mitzvah that I will never ever be able to do again in my life because every time the opportunity comes around, it's taken away from me. So the Drisha says in that case, I would be allowed to give my Meisr Ksafim for that type of cause. That's the opinion of the Drisha, which is a little bit a tweaking of the Rama's Psak. However, we paskin halacha l'maisa that a person is even able to use that money of Meisr Ksafim for a dvar mitzvah. For example, the Taz and the Shach, both in Siman Reish Mem Tes, discuss is a person allowed to buy svarim with the money that he set aside for Meisr Ksafim. That was the case that you asked about. So if a person, let's say, would like to buy svarim with his maus of Meisr Ksafim, is he allowed to or not? So if it's for his own private svarim, so really the chatchila he should not. What about if he wants to buy a box of svarim, he wants to buy a set of svarim, and put it on the shelf in the yeshiva because he wants other people to use it? So is he allowed to do that or not? So the Shach and the Taz both write that he's allowed to use the Meisr Ksafim for that. However, the Taz warns that a person should make sure to write in there that these svarim were bought with money of Meisr Ksafim. Why? Because, let's say my children saw me buy this set of svarim and put it on the shelf. So after I pass away, after Meves from Shana, so my children are going to say, that's our father's set of svarim, and they're going to take it back for themselves. They're going to think that that's part of their Yerusha. And therefore, says the Taz, that in order to make sure that doesn't happen, a person should write in it that he bought this with the money from Maaser Kesafim, and this wasn't actually something that belonged to him himself. Therefore, his children will know that it really is not something that could end up in their own private homes. It's something that has to be dedicated for the use of the public. That's what we generally hold. I spoke to my father about this today. He thought that we do allow people to buy mitzvahs with their maos on Maaser Kesafim as long as it's something that's going to be used for the public uses. It's not something that I'm going to hoard for myself. So that's with regard to the issue of Maaser Kesafim. Yeah.
So it's only you who do it to other people and not you do it for yourself?
Yeah. Lechatchila, we hold like the Ramah that a person should not generally use the maos on Maaser Kesafim to do any mitzvah. The Drisha says sometimes we do have an exception to the rule. For example, a person who comes across a mitzvah, once in a lifetime mitzvah, that he'll never be able to do again. That might be an exception. But generally we hold, if a person wants to buy svarim with it or something else which is going to benefit the tzibur that they're going to use all the time, so then he is allowed to use his money of Maaser Kesafim for that cause specifically. If we look in Chazal, in the Gemara Ksubos on Daf Nun, we find another drasha that we learn out from this pasuk. We start off with the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, which the Das HaKenim Ibal HaTosfos said, we learn from that pasuk that Yaakov Tikin Lasses Maaser Mina Maaser, to give Maaser Kesafim. If you look in the Gemara Ksubos on Daf Nun, it's interesting that we learn another drasha from this pasuk as well, which is, anyone know? Hamavazvez, that's the Takanas Usha. That the Gemara says we have a Takana that the Chacham were Masakin in Usha, that Hamavazvez Al Yavazvez Yoser Mechomesh. A person who would like to give money to Tzedakah, he should not give more than a Chomesh, more than one-fifth of his general assets away to Tzedakah. And that is something that is learned out from this pasuk also. I'm only going to give Maaser, but I should not actually give more than that. Two exceptions to the rule which we find are that Ner Chanukah and Dalet Kosos. Those are two things that a person is allowed to give more than a Chomesh. Why? Because the common denominator between those two is they are Pursuma Nisa. So the Rambam actually writes a very extreme position. The Rambam says, which all the Nesukim are not sure, where does the Rambam get this from? We know that the Rambam says very famously in Hilchos Ner Chanukah that a person is even chayv limkar as ksuso, afila mocher ksuso, a person is mechayv to sell his shirt from his back in order to have enough money to afford the Neros Chanukah. This is obviously not the case with Neros Shabbos, it's only the case with Neros Chanukah. Interesting question that one of the Rabbanim once asked was, fascinating Shaila, speaking about a Shabbos Chanukah actually next week in the White Shul, but so if any of you are there, don't tell anybody. But he asked a very sharp shaila that the din is if you have only one candle and it's Friday night of Shabbos Chanukah. So what are you supposed to use the candle for? Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah? What's the din Ner Shabbos? Why?
Shalom
Bayis. So what does Shalom Bayis mean? Doesn't mean you're going to get in a fight with your wife. If Asher Weiss once told me that Shalom Bayis obviously does not mean that now that you have a candle, you're not going to get in a fight with your wife. What are you talking about? Shalom Bayis means that you don't want to trip all over the house. Shalom Bayis just means your house should run normally. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fight with your wife. You should never fight with your wife. So he likes to point out that that's the pshat in the Gemara with Shalom Bayis. So obviously that's adif. A person should have a nice Shabbos meal. A person should have a nice atmosphere in his house. Therefore, he should have lights in his house on Shabbos. However, Ner Chanukah, which we know, a person is not allowed to have hanah from the lights of the Neros Chanukah. Therefore, Shalom Bayis is adif. So he lights the Shabbos candle. Good. So what's the din? Let's say a person has no candles and he has no money. So he's chayv limkar es ksuso for Ner Chanukah, right? So it's Friday afternoon. I went and I sold my shirt in order to buy Ner Chanukah. So now what's the halacha? Now I have one candle in my house. What am I supposed to do? Ner Shabbos, right? I can return it and buy my shirt back. Now that I buy the shirt back, I have to buy the Ner Chanukah. So what am I supposed to do? Anyway, very interesting shaila. I'm going to speak about it next week. Anyway, so these are two exceptions where we find. Normally, the Gemara says in Ksubas on Daf Nun, Hamavazvez Alivazvez Yosem Mechomesh. A person is not allowed to spend more than a Chomesh. However, there are two exceptions to the rule, which are Ner Chanukah and Dalet Kosos, because they are Pesuma Nisa, very important mitzvahs. The Chavetz Chaim has a whole sefer about Tzedakah, which is called Avos Chesed. Chavetz Chaim is famous for his Shmir Salashon and for the Mishnah Berurah. However, if you look into the Kol Kisvei Chavetz Chaim, many different svarim that he has on many different topics, many different areas of halacha. So one of them is Avos Chesed, which is all about giving tzedakah and all about the schusim that you get when you give tzedakah. So he writes as follows. He says, it's not right, Hamavazvez al yivazvez yosim mechomesh. A person shouldn't just go around looking for aniyim to go and throw away all his money to the aniyim. That's not right. Why? Because Shema Yoni v'yitztarech lebrios. The Gemara says, maybe one day I, chas v'shalom, will become poor and I'm going to need to go and get money from other people. So therefore, a person should plan accordingly and keep the right amount of money for himself. I give the normal amount of money to others. Says the Chafetz Chaim, however, a notable exception would be if an ani shows up to my door and he actually does not have any food to eat, or he doesn't have clothing to wear, or he doesn't have shoes, obviously then I should give, even if it's more than chomesh, a person should give away from his money to this ani who knocks on his door. What does it mean? It means I should not go around running around the streets looking for people to give tzedakah to if I'm not in a position to afford it. But if someone shows up to my house and he's so dire and destitute, so obviously I must do my utmost to help him, even if it means going above and beyond the means of a chomesh. So that's a very interesting chiddush of the Chafetz Chaim, which is very mistaver. The Ramah paskins in Siman Tafresh Nun Vav, which is Hilchos Dal Aminim. Interesting, what's it doing there? We'll see in a minute. So the Ramah writes that a person is only not mechuyev to give more than chomesh for a kiyum mitzvah's essay. If, let's say, the only way for bitumim, the reason why it's in Tafresh Nun Vav Hilchos Dal Aminim is because the Ramah says if, let's say, a person is able to buy a lulav and esrog from Africa for $1 million, is he mechuyev to do that? Obviously not, says the Ramah. For a mitzvah saseh, in order that I should be mekayem mitzvah saseh, the Ramah says I do not have to give away so much money. However, the Ramah qualifies and he says, if let's say the cost that it's going to cost me not to be over a mitzvah lo saseh is $1 million. For example, a non-Jew comes over to me and he says, pay me $1 million or I'm going to make you be nakilei rice, or I'm going to make you eat chazer. So there are shalosh averos chamuros. Avodazar gilei rice shvichas dam amuchiv yahar gval yaver, or amuchiv to pay anything. But let's say he tells me, pay me $1 million or I'm going to force you to eat that piece of chazer. So must the person pay the $1 million? Or do we say, no, I'm a vazvez al yivazvez yosar mechomesh. I don't have to pay more than a fifth for any mitzvah, so why should I have to pay more than a fifth for a lo saseh? Says the Ramah, this is the chiddush, that even if a person has to spend more than a fifth of his money not to be over a lo saseh, he must spend kol hon beso. He must spend every last penny that he has in order to stop himself from being over a lav. Amazing when you think about it. Like, if only we took averus that seriously. But the Ramah writes very carefully that a person must spend all of his money in order that he should not be over a lav. The Bir Agra writes in Yeradeus and Kufn and Zayin, which is all about the mitzvahs of Yehar Vayavar, he writes, not only does the Ramah mean this with regard to mitzvahs lo saseh, that a person has to give up all his money, the Ramah even means that if a non-Jew tells this person that I want you to be over on a shvus midrabanan on Shabbos, or pay me $1 million, says the Bir Agra on Yeradeya Kufnan Zayin, a person also has to give up all his money for that, and not to be over that iser of a shvus midrabanan on Shabbos, which is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Comes out according to the Bir Agra that a shvus midrabanan is more chamer than a mitzvah sase. I don't know. Very interesting. But that's what the Bir Agra writes in Yeradeus and Kufnan Zayin. So those are the two qualifications with regard to this Gemara of Hamavazvez, Ali Vazvez Yosem Mechomish. If you look in the Shittim Kubetzes and Ksubas on Daf Mem Tes Amibes, which is right before this Gemara Ksubas Daf Nun, that Takana Susha, so he writes, another notable exception is, for Talmud Torah, it's mutter to spend more than Chomish. I saw Rabbi Yashiv writes in his Ha'aras, they have these Svarim from Rabbi Yashiv on the different Masechtos, so he writes that he brings a raya to this Yisod of the Shittim Kubetzes, that how do I know that I'm allowed to spend even more than a Chomish on Talmud Torah? Let's say yeshiva tuition cost me $1 million. So how do I know I'm mechuyev to pay more than $1 million to get a good chavrusa, or whatever, to get the best rebbe in the world? How do I know I'm mechuyev to pay $1 million to come to the Sai Sims business halacha club shir? How do I know that? So says Rabbi Yashiv in his Ha'aretz, how does Shittim Kabatzes know this? From the famous Gemara by Hillel. The Gemara says Hillel mechayev es aniyim. Why? Because Hillel was so poor. Says the Gemara story about Hillel. He was so poor and he used to give every last penny that he had to get into the Beis Medrash. One day he didn't have any money left. So what did he do? He went up onto the roof, the Gemara says, and he was waiting on the roof so that he could hear through the sunlight what was going on, all the discussions that were going on in the Beis Medrash. Then the Gemara says that the Talmidim came to the Beis Medrash and saw the sunroof was all covered over. It was dark and no one was able to see in. So they went up to the roof and they saw Hillel was lying there and he was covered with snow. So that's why it was dark in the Beis Medrash. Fine, so that's the story with Hillel Mechayev es aniyim, says Rabbi Yashiv. We see from that, person mechuyev to give, kol hon beso. He's mechuyev to give every last penny that he has in order that he should be able to be yotzei lilmud Talmud Torah. Why? Says Rabbi Yashiv, because in the end of the day, I'm mechuyev leida as kol Torah kula. It's my achrayus, it's my responsibility to make sure I become a Talmud Chacham. So he says, whatever it's going to take, v'hi chayi netzach, he says, that's something that's going to bring me to Olam Haba. So if that's something that I take very seriously, if that's something that I realize the significance of, then I have to give all my money. So he goes back and forth about this, but that's really the yisod of the Shittim Kubetzes, that for Talmud Torah, a person is mechuyev to spend even more than a chomesh, he's mechuyev to spend all his money in order to make sure that he learns properly. Yeah.
What's the deal with somebody who's like super rich, like $1 trillion?
Yeah, so the Acharonim write that a person who's super rich and is able to afford more than a chamish, he should give more than a chamish, but it should also be done with a cheshbon. He should realize that he should make a savings account. He should also make sure that he's responsible, that his children have enough, and that everyone in his family has enough. And then he should give more than the chamish. But he should not restrict himself to chamish, obviously, because he can afford to give a lot more. So one last point, we just have a few minutes left. One last point is as follows. The Gemara says, in Kiddushin, Daf Chavtes and Mebeis, and all the sugyas of Kibbut Avayim, so the Gemara says, what is a father mechuyev to do for his son, and what is a father not mechuyev to do for his son? We know that Kibbut Av is Mishel Av or Mishel Bein. What does the Gemara say? Mishel Av. A Bein is not mechuyev, a son is not mechuyev to be mechabed his father and actually spend money on his father. He obviously has to make sure that his father gets everything he needs, which does not cost money. However, when it comes to spending money on his father, he's allowed to take that out of his father's account. So what is the father's chiyuv toward the son? Says the Gemara, a father must make sure, when his son is a young child, his father must make sure to pay money for his son's different needs, for being mechanech his son, for all different things. So says the Gemara, what's the halacha by pidin haben? A father obviously has to be poda his son, right? That we all know. So what's the halacha if, says the Gemara, in daf chavtes and mebeis, who liftos and benon liftos mi kodem? Let's say the father happens to be a bechor, and the son also happens to be a bechor. And for some reason, neither of them ever got a pidin haben. So now here we are, and I only have, how much does it cost to do pidin haben? Anyone know? What? How much money?
Five shalom.
So how much is that? I think it's 96 grams. I don't know how much it is. Let's say $100. I have no idea, but let's say. Let's assume for argument's sake, $100 to do pidin haben. So what's the din? I only have $100 in my bank account. I'm a bechor, and my son is a bechor. My parents never did a pidin haben on me, and I never did a pidin haben on my son. So who should I spend the $100 on? Should I spend it on my own pidin haben? Should I be poda myself? Or should I spend it on my son's pidin haben? That's the Gemara's question. So, ask the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha, a very famous kasha. So what does this mean? If I only have $100 left in the bank, how am I allowed to spend it on a mitzvah pidin haben? The Gemara says, I'm a vazvez, ali vazvez, yosem mechomesh. I'm not allowed to give away more than a fifth of my money for any mitzvah. So how am I allowed to spend my last $100? Because it's obviously my last $100. Because the Gemara has a suffix, who should I spend it on, me or my son? So how am I allowed to spend my last $100 on the mitzvah pidin haben? So I always thought the answer was as follows. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know why none of the Acharonim say this. All the Acharonim talk about this kasha and get very excited. Let's say like this, okay? I have $500 in the bank that I'm going to be left with. This doesn't work. I have $500 in the bank that I'm going to be left with regardless. Right? Let's say. People tell me if my cheshbon makes sense, please. I've been saying this for years and wondering why no one says like me. Now, I have a separate account in the bank, which is my Meiser account, right? Or my mitzvahs account, whatever, right? My Yosem Echomish. So in this, I only have $100 left. Everyone following? Am I crazy? I have $600 altogether. That's my net worth. I have $100 left in my Meiser account and $500 left to live life. That's all I need for the rest of the year, let's say. So now the Gemara has a suffix. When I only have $100 left in my mitzvah account, should I use that $100 on myself to do my pidin haben first, or should I use this $100 in my mitzvah account for my son's pidin haben? That's what I think is the most obvious teretz. I don't know why no one says that. To me, this is the most pashut. I don't know. I once told a sirah, Roger Rice, he said, you're a balabas, whatever, that's a balabatish teretz. I don't know. I think it's the most obvious. I don't know what's so difficult. But this is not what Acharonim says. I just want to say over one teretz that I saw an interesting answer from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, writes in the Gris Moshe. Very interesting answer in Arachaim Simon Hay, Arachaim Chelek Hay Simon Mem Aleph. Rabbi Moshe writes as follows, not like I said. He says like this. Let's say the mitzvah of buying a lulav and esrog. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if I buy my lulav and esrog or if I get it for free? Does it make a difference to him? Let's say I happen to live in wherever, in Egypt, and I have an esrog farm, or I have a lulav tree. So am I allowed to use my own lulav and esrog? Even though I didn't buy it, of course I can. Just so happens to be that most people in the world do not own a lulav and esrog before Sukkot, so you have to go to the store and buy one for a fortune of money. So, in such a case, says Rav Moshe, in a case where it doesn't make a difference if I buy the mitzvah or not, however I get it, so then, says the Torah, you should not spend more than a fifth on that mitzvah, more than a chomesh of your money on that mitzvah. Why? Because the Torah told me you could be yotze the mitzvah either way. Happens to be in your case, the only way you can be yotze the mitzvah is if you spend money. So if spending money is going to cost you up to a fifth, so you're not mechuyev to do that. However, where you have a mitzvah where the Torah said, spend money on this mitzvah. And if you don't spend money, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Let's say like Pidun HaBen. Torah tells me, make sure you give money to be poda your son. Or to be poda yourself. So if that's the case where the Torah told me specifically that I must spend money on this mitzvah, so then you can't stop at a chomesh. The bottom line is not going to be a chomesh. The bottom line, the threshold is going to be much, much more than that. Why? Because the Torah told me, on this mitzvah, you are mechuyev to spend money. So a mitzvah where I'm mechuyev to spend money, I have to spend even more than a chomesh, and I'm not limited to that chomesh level that we would generally say I'm stuck at. Does that make sense to everyone? Everyone hear that? Very mustaber answer of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's interesting that Rav Moshe writes as follows. He says that if you follow this through, let's say when it comes to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So a person is really mechuyev to walk to Yerushalayim, right? So let's say I live in Eilat, and in order to take a train from Eilat to Yerushalayim is going to cost me $250. And to me, that's more than a chomesh, let's say. So am I mechuyev? Do I say, well, it's going to cost me too much money, so now I'm not mechuyev to be all the regal. Because I'm a vazvez, ali vazvez, yosem a chomesh. So says Rav Moshe, no, because really, I'm mechuyev to walk. A person mechuyev to really walk to Yerushalayim on his own to be all the regal. No one told you you have to spend money. Only reason you're spending money is because you don't want to be so tired by the time you get to Yerushalayim, and you don't want your shoes to be worn out. So therefore, since you're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for the mitzvah, you're doing it for yourself, because you don't want to wear yourself out. Really, make a din, you're mechuyev to walk. So since you're doing it for yourself, you're mechuyev to spend as much money as it takes, because that's your own thing. That's not something which is for the purpose of the mitzvah, that's something for your own purposes. There's a famous story in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik that one time a guy came to him and he said, I got a telegram on my father's very sick in a very faraway community, but it costs too much money, and he's on his deathbed, he wants me to come visit him before he dies. But he said to his Rebbe, Reb Chaim, it costs too much money, it costs me whatever, all the money, all my savings is going to cost me to go visit my father. So what should I do? Am I mechuyev and keep it avinah? So Reb Chaim said to go walk. I'm mechuyev to walk. So there's two pshat in what Reb Chaim meant. Pashup pshat is Reb Chaim said, you're an idiot. Your father's on his deathbed, so you spend every penny you have to go visit him. That's the pashup pshat. Other pshat in Reb Chaim is no. So go walk meaning, midin keep it up, you're right, you're not mechuyev to spend money. But you're mechuyev to walk. You're mechuyev to be mechabed your father. The only reason you want to spend money is because you don't want to wear out your shoes, and you don't want to be so tired by the time you get to your father's town, so that's why you want to spend money. So said Reb Chaim, spend every last penny you have. And if not, then go walk. You're mechuyev to walk. So that's the same thing that Ramesh is saying over here, that by Aliyah L'Regel, a person is mechuyev to be all the regal on his own feet. If a person chooses not to, and he wants to take the train or the bus instead, and to him it costs too much money, that's your own problem. Start walking. That's your fault. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, in these types of mitzvahs where a person really is mechuyev to do it on his own, and he's trying to get out of it by saying that he doesn't want to spend more than a fifth of it because he doesn't want to give up all his savings, says Rav Moshe, that would not be included in this heter of Hamavazvez, Alivazvez, Yoser Mechomash. See, we have gone over time, so we will stop here. Thank you. Yes.
What type of places or people can you give?